It's 7 minutes after 10. I'm Kara Lawrence. Every year, Western Michigan University invites a true jazz master to campus to teach and perform with WMU jazz ensembles. Then there's a concert open to the public featuring the soloist and an array of arrangements and groups. That concert is tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And the jazz master is singer Deborah Brown, who joins me here along with Greg Jaspers, director of Gold Company. Thanks so much for coming to WMUK. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to start with something big. As a singer, your career has taken you to venues big and small around the world and into the recording studio again and again. Do you have a life philosophy that keeps you going creatively?
No. I'm just kidding. I have a dime store mentality.
What does that mean?
A dime store mentality. You go in and you do the very best that you can, and you're just on board for everything, and people will invite you back, and it's just maybe makes it a nicer experience. I love to experience situations and people. I love it. So that's all part of it. You have to love people and. And that way you can collaborate with a lot of different people. And, you know, I can honestly say I have, in my career, have not really come across anyone that is, you know, unpleasant, not too unpleasant, that I couldn't work with them.
Say you had a young student come up to you and say, I have this opportunity to go somewhere I've never been. Maybe I don't know the culture or the language, and I'm really scared, and I think I might not do it. What would you say?
Oh, I would encourage them to go. That's for sure. Because you don't know what you don't like unless you try it.
So you've always tried to say yes.
This is how my career overseas started, because I had a friend that did that. She went to Japan, and she stayed for 2 days. And that was the first time I ever had felt like a little twinge of jealousy with my friends. I was so happy for her, and I took her to the airport. We had a great send-off for her. She was a fantastic singer. She came back 2 days later, and I was like, what are you doing back here? How could you get the ticket to come back? Yeah. She said, I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't handle it. And I said, well, can I have the name of the agent that sent you over there? And that's how my overseas career got started.
You ended up in Japan.
Oh, yeah, and I stayed. And it was tough. It was tough because my first few months in Japan, there was no one that spoke English. And so I had to test my voice to see if it was still there. Hello, 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 hello. Yeah, and to order off of a menu, which was all Japanese, because I was in an area where there was no tourist. And I just had to point my finger, and I got the most wonderful food. So it was, yeah, it was like a little tough.
That sounds like the most extreme culture shock you could experience. I mean, not just a little baby step to Australia or something, but...
Right, it was, yeah, it was an extreme feeling. It was very foreign for me, but it was fascinating.
Well, would you take me back to Kansas City and growing up in, was it a musical family you had?
My mother was a classical pianist, and my father loved music. He loved jazz music. He actually played a little trombone and wanted to be a jazz musician. However, he was warned off of that because my grandparents weren't going to send him to college and get a return for a jazz musician's salary. So he became a public servant. And it was a really good background because my mother was a special kind of lady. She was my stepmother. Actually, she was very pushy. She knew that I had a voice, and so she pushed me in singing. And we also, my grandmother also played the piano. So we would go to her house to have fun, and then she would teach us fingering on the piano. So yeah, it was kind of natural for us to grow up around music. It was I had a beautiful childhood, I can say.
When do you have any specific memories of, you know, seeing an artist who really was playing or singing at the very highest caliber, very highest level that transcended the ordinary?
I wouldn't say that so much, and I think that I kind of got bit by the bug when I heard Shirley MacLaine in a movie, Sweet Charity, and I saw her singing and dancing, and I knew immediately that's what I wanted to do.
The Bob Fosse movie,
yeah,
Sweet Charity.
I loved that movie. That was my... I was a kid. My mom took me to an art theater, a little bitty place with little director chairs, and we saw Sweet Charity on a small screen. But it was huge for me. It was made a huge impact in my life.
I'm really I really had no idea that you were going to go there. I think you know, I'm still reaching for the, you know, the transcendent art. But you know, Fosse himself was a perfectionist. Like, the whole experience of the film might have had that stamp on it of this is worth doing art.
Such a classic movie with Rita Moreno, and you know, the dancing sequences were so amazing, and then of course her acting, but it wasn't so much her acting, it was the whole thing, but it was just the singing and the dancing, and I thought, that's what I want to do. And my mother knew that, and so she always put me in special programs for young people that were really amazing programs. I was around some very, very talented young people. And then I was able to go to a theater after school from the age of 14 or 15 years old and learn how to design sets, make sets, do costumes. We learned how to dance. We learned really obscure plays like Pfeiffer's People by Jules Pfeiffer. And we did things like... Finian's Rainbow, and you know, you name the Fantastics, and all these kind of plays. And this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into musical comedy.
Does that experience, you know, in that range of experience, in backstage at theater, on stage as well, does that help in your career as a singer? Are you able to go and understand, you know, the full, what it really takes to put on a show?
We did plays for children in the inner city, and it was people from all over the city that was a part of the company. And we were trained just like professionals. And as a matter of fact, when we had a production, we always had one professional actor in it. So we were trained to be professional. And I can't help but think that, yeah, that had a huge impact on my jazz career. You know, I started singing after college, and I just got it fell into it from an ad in the newspaper. But it wasn't an immediate training like stage left or stage right, or you know. But it was one of those things where you had to smile, and it looked pasted on. So I really sympathize with people that have the plastic smiles, because I can sympathize with them because I had mine too.
Well, I'm speaking with Deborah Brown. She is the jazz master appearing with Western Michigan University Jazz Ensembles in concert tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets will be available at the door, and they're available now through the Miller Box Office, 387-2300, or MillerAuditorium.com. Well, I want to take us from, you know, high school theater to adult concert stages and touring the world and recordings, but I want to give you a break as well. So why don't we listen to your singing from an album. Let's see, this tune we're going to cue up here is Alone Together. Would you introduce this?
Alone Together is a song that I recorded in New York with a former student of mine who's now very, in involved in the music business in New York now. As a matter of fact, he's a head of a school in Holland. And he has played with many great jazz musicians along the way. And he called me and he says, I really want to do this record with you. And so he wrote the arrangements. And here it is, Alone Together.
That is an all-out track called Alone Together. And we heard my guest Deborah Brown singing there. And you mentioned a brilliant arranger and pianist. And who was he again?
His name is Joris Tapa. He's the bassist. And that record is with George Culligan.
Oh, he's on
fantastic.
Piano.
Yeah, he's on piano. He also plays the organ. And then Gene Jackson. He's the drummer on it. He used to play with... he also played with musicians of note.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me, just
Herbie
hearing this...
Herbie Hancock.
Oh, that's a person
That's a
of...
musician of note.
Yes, indeed. They're playing all out, and you're willing to go there, too. You're not like, my poor voice, you all need to calm down, you know.
If you only knew the circumstances of that record. It was in New York during a heat wave in a studio where they thought, well, you know what, this is a small enough for a singer. Why don't you go in there? And the air conditioner was off. And I was, seriously? But I did it anyway.
Wow. Wow.
I did it anyway. And it was really exciting working with those caliber of musicians.
Yeah.
And creating something that was different.
What's the name of this album and where can we find it?
Songbird.
And that's probably available on
YouTube. CDBaby.com.
Okay, great. Deborah Brown. And Deborah is spelled D-E-B-O-R-A-H, the full.
Well, thank you.
Spelling. And you are set to perform tonight at 7:30. And this is a good time to bring in Greg Jaspers to our conversation. As director of Gold Company, of course, you've been preparing this concert for most of the semester, I would think, and planning the songs and arrangements and how to best show off this wonderful guest artist. Greg, how do you know Deborah Brown?
I first heard Deborah when she performed at the Greeley Jazz Festival, and we were talking, we can't even figure out when that was, because she's been back since then, and it's a festival that I do pretty regularly as an adjudicator. But that night... she performed with the big band there, and I was sitting with all of the other adjudicators. We've been, you know, talking to high school kids and middle school kids about singing jazz, and then Deborah came out and took the stage, and all of our jaws hit the floor. And I think I even thought then, if I ever had a program and could bring her in, there would be no better demonstration of what a jazz singer should be and should be able to do and should sound like. And so, yeah, that was quite a while ago. Then we ended up working together twice, I believe, at another festival in Seattle. Frank DeMiro is a wonderful educator and proponent of vocal jazz especially. And Deborah was there as a guest artist, and so that was when we got to hang out backstage and talk more, and there was always a VIP jam late at night after the official concert. And that's even more fun because it's smaller and it's like our own little pop-up jazz club. And so I think that was right around the time that I knew that I was going to be coming back to Kalamazoo. And I said, Deborah, would you ever come to Kalamazoo? And she said, anytime. So when the opportunity came up, you know, the Jazz Masters series that we're doing is something that the university supports. It's not something that the university has given the jazz area the support to do this event. And we've brought in some amazing artists, Randy Brecker last year and Joe Lovano the year before. And it was time for a vocalist to be back here as a jazz master. And I just knew that Deborah would be perfect.
Tell me, I'm going to push you a little harder on what it was that you saw in her that made you say, this is the real thing. This is the full package. What was it? Her range? Was it her stage presence? Just how she played with the instrumentalists and the audience?
Well, you just made my job so easy. Yes. But it really was, you know, I mean, I think for me and probably for most of us, whenever if we are listening to somebody who's in our area of expertise, then they have to win you over, and you go down the checklist. And so if she comes out on stage and starts to sing, and I love her sound and I love her style. And then she starts to, and you know, develop the melody, and there's her range. And then I'm listening to that range and I'm going, well, there's that technique, you know? And then we get to the time, it's time to solo, and she starts improvising and scatting. And that's really the big thing for me as a jazz vocalist too, is can this person, does this person hear and understand the changes and know the chord changes and know what to do with them? And I think that's when I was just like, we are listening to the whole package, and not to give anything away, but I will. And then she went over to the piano at one point in that concert and played and sang at the same time. And you know, you just, there's nothing but respect when all of that comes together. And that's exactly what you'll hear tonight too, is all of those things. And in every rehearsal with all of our kids too, it's just been great to see their ears and their eyes and their faces light up and realize it's, you know, I'm getting elevated right now because of what she is bringing to the table and to the music. And if I'm going to meet that and play with that artist or sing with that artist, then it's a game time. And then the example that she's setting while she's been here has just been really wonderful.
Oh. How long have you been here? A couple days?
A couple of days.
Yep.
And I'm glad this is on the radio and we're taping it, because I'll take it with me. And my moments when I'm at home washing the dishes and doing the laundry, I'm going to put that on and feel good about myself. No. But this also helps me, because I've always thought, no matter who is in the audience or where you are, if it's five people or if it's 500 or 5,000 people, you have no idea who's listening to you. And you just do your best, and because of the love of the music and the respect that you have for the music. And here I am in Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. Go figure.
I was listening to Greg and thinking, he sounds like an educator right now. You know, in his position, he has to break down for his students all of these special different elements that come into a performance. Do you have to work as an educator? Are you focused on performing most of the time?
Well, I do a lot of things, and I am a I have a position in Holland, in a town a couple of hours north of Amsterdam called Groningen. But I taught in Holland for 7 years. But it's a special program where all the teachers there are from New York. Every week there's a jazz master that comes and works with the students for an entire week, all the students. So it's a unique program. So I am there. I have my weeks there. But when you teach, it really does help to cement and help you to understand what you are doing. I love teaching because they inspire me, but it also helps me to pinpoint exactly what I'm doing.
And what, you know, because you have to explain what they're doing.
And Greg is very, you know, what he's doing and what they're doing at the school is unique in my opinion, because around the world, people don't sing in close harmony the way that they do here in America. We have some of the best college combos and singing, like the Gold Company. We have some of the best singers in the world, and they can hear each other, and they can do some extraordinary things. And there are teachers behind that help them to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's a unique thing, because in Europe they don't have that as much. The focus is really on solo singing, and there are good solo singers, and there's good solo singers here. But I would say that, you know, when they leave school, they're professional singers. They can go anywhere, and they can sing any note, you know, put in front of them, just like a musician can, a horn player, a pianist, or a violinist, whatever. So this is how these children are being trained, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of patience and endurance, and you have to know when to push and you have to know when to pull back.
Did you go to college or conservatory for further training?
I did. I got a scholarship to go to school for a couple of years, and I, you know, and I caught the bug after my first year because I got I looked on the billboard at the college, not the billboard, but the well, they had a lot of postings for summer jobs, and I got a summer job working at Six Flags Over Mid-America. Yeah, five shows. It was wonderful. Five shows a day. It was, you know, a real learning experience. And I got back home at the end of the summer and I announced to my parents that I am now going to be a professional song and dance person. And they said, you're going to go back to school is what you're going to do. And so I went back to school and I'm glad I did because I learned a lot that year. However, I did after that year, I got during that year, I got another ad for a singer at the Hilton Hotel, and there's a lot of Hiltons around the United States, and that pulled me away after my second year of school, and I just never went back.
So we're getting little bits of your story here, and I'm maybe I'm not doing a good job of a perfect through line, but it's fascinating. You went to Japan on a practically on a whim. You have a teaching position or had a teaching position in the Netherlands. You're based in Kansas City, Missouri, and it's all quite fascinating, and there's more to tell, but I would love to give you a break and give us a chance to hear another track from one of your records here.
Thank you.
What do you think might contrast nicely with what we heard Alone Together was that big trio sound? And
There is a song that on my latest record is called All Too Soon. And I think that would be a nice right now.
All too soon, all too
that's the lovely Deborah Brown, and she's singing there on All Too Soon. The album is called All Too Soon, and you can find it online at various sources, CD Baby being one. If you just tuned in during the music, it is my great honor to have Deborah here in the studio, along with Greg Jaspers, who is the director of Gold Company at Western Michigan University. And, you know, I don't want to work you out too hard because you have a big job tonight, concert starting at 7:30. May I ask, since you've been here a couple of days and had a chance to get the lay of the land and interact with some of the students, what, through your eyes, what's it been like to fly in and see what these kids have prepared?
Well, you know, it's been a beautiful experience. The way that they've, you know, they've accepted me, the way that they're looking at me, I drove through the campus and Greg saw one of his students and the students waved and there was another singer passing by and she's like, you could see the excitement. There's the singer. I think they're so happy to have a kindred spirit and, you know, being another singer is someone they can relate to. And I think it really kind of gives them, you know, some kind of, you know, excitement because, you know, we're on the same instrument, so to speak.
The interesting thing to me about jazz is that while there are standard songs, it can change over and over because people make arrangements of familiar things that are quite new. And that happens all the time. Nothing stays the same, even though we know the title of the tune. So what are some of the highlights on the program that you're looking forward to? Some things we might have heard of that might sound a little new and fresh tonight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're new and fresh. Yes. We have some, some songs were written, some arrangements were written for me.
Oh, there's some brand new things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was part of the program was to, for the composition majors to do, to compose some music. So that was really interesting to hear how they thought about music. And so that sounds new and interesting. And it was also a challenge for me, too. And then also with Gold Company, now I tease them all the time. Okay, I'm going to get a bus and you guys are going to go with me because now I can't sing without, you know, my accompaniment, the Gold Company. It is so pretty. It's so beautiful. I know I say that, but it's like having a string section following you, you know. However, they're very integrated. They have their own personality. They have their own songs. They have their own way of doing things. And then I just kind of add that little pop of color to them. That's the idea that we had there. And then the big band, of course, you know, most universities have a big band. I love bringing my music for the big band to interpret. And, you know, last night we did a little, you know, teaser show, and they were so focused and professional. So, and now they're going to be in a theater that they know about, they know the sound, they're comfortable. It's going to be really a beautiful thing to see young people. And they looked good up there in their outfits.
Oh, that's right. They always have their jackets on, you know, they just want to look sharp.
Yep.
And sound terrific.
There's some talent.
They don't want to let you down either.
There's some talent. There's some talent there. Yeah. They understand jazz. They get it, you know, and it's nice to work with people that are up and coming. You don't know where, we always talk about this all the time. You never know what people are going to do after they come out of school. You never know where that's going to happen. But the industry can expand and expand and, you know, more people can be absorbed in it. So we don't know what's going to happen, but I'll give you this experience. I was in Belgium over the summer, and there was a man that came up to me, and he spoke English. And I thought, oh, there's an American here at our little square in our little concert. He's like, I played with you before. And I was like, oh, you have? And he didn't look familiar. He says, I was in the trombone section because I was at the university. Mm-hmm. And it was a university, I think, in Greeley, Colorado. I was just blown away. He had a job teaching at the university. I mean, teaching at the international school in Belgium. How about that? A trombone player. I mean, okay, we have a joke in the music business that those are the last people that are going to get a job is a trombone player and the conga player. But I mean, but he's got a great job in Belgium. So, you know, you never know where people are going to end up.
You know, I've always been a little bit jealous of jazz training because in this day and age, a jazz player is going to be able to read and sight read as well as any classical player. They're going to know their instrument and be able to do many different styles and approaches and know their history as well. And then there's the whole improvisational side. They're not afraid to learn a pattern and give it something fresh. That's a place as a classically trained musician I am so afraid of going. I'm like, give me an open set of chords and I'll run the other way, you know. But that's why I think, you know, jazz players, especially players like you, Deborah, and many others I've met over the years, Stefan Harris, and just the best trained musicians in the world, jazz players. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can adopt it and bring, you know, that sensibility to all sorts of professions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great training. So, Greg, why don't you fill in here for a moment and talk about some of the other highlights on the program tonight?
Well, you know, you were talking about training, and one of the things that a lot of our kids did not see, because tonight, in addition to Deborah playing with our students, she's going to play with the Western Jazz Quartet. And they rehearsed the first thing Tuesday morning. That was the first thing on the docket. And nary a piece of paper was used. Deborah sat down. We plugged in her microphone. And she said, you know this tune? You know this tune? You know this tune? Listed four or five tunes. And said, this one's going to feature drums. This one's going to feature saxophone. This is going to be the ballad with me and the piano. Set her keys. And an hour later, they were done. And, you know, and so speaking of training the idea, I'm doing a workshop in Vermont this weekend, and I'm going to tell these teachers that jazz is like space exploration. You know, you can just live on this planet for your whole life. But if you feel like you have the, you know, a few tools, well, not a few tools, but, you know, what's possible, what's out there, if you are willing to just have this conversation and get a little direction and then bring all of your skills and your creativity into this music making moment. And that's what the Western Jazz Quartet and Deborah did. So it was really amazing to see that. I mean, on one hand, you know, that's what's supposed to happen and that's what you're training your students to do. But at the same time, when it actually does happen,
well,
when the rocket ship does lift off, and
this is the problem. The one thing about traveling is I hate packing. I mean, there's some people that really love packing, but I absolutely hate packing. And I forgot to pack my music. And so we didn't have any charts. That was my mistake. And I thought, okay, but we have a huge library in jazz. So no matter where you go in the world, there are songs that everyone knows. And then the beauty of it is to be able to interpret those songs together. And that was an epiphany for me when I went to Japan. Because in Japan, they have paintings, right, of the Mount Fuji. Mm-hmm. I mean, thousands of people through millenniums have, you know, captured this mountain. And there's some that are, you know, regarded as, you know, the ultimate versions of this. And I never understood that until I went to Japan and I played with a musician that came into the club. And he was just sitting in, a trumpet player, and he played, you know, a very familiar song that everyone knows, but he played it so incredibly different. And I'd never heard that before. And I thought, this is a palette so that people can express themselves individually on this. And that is what the Japanese do. And I thought, oh, okay, this is jazz. This is what jazz is. So this is our library. We just have a standard library, but each person has their own little mark they put on every song.
I love that it gives you a passport to meet new people.
Yes.
Whether you speak the same language or not, you're speaking the language of this library, and you can say so much to each other and learn about each other simply by playing music
mm-hmm.
from this jazz catalog.
Yeah, it really does.
I think it's really great that you forgot your music for this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I know, like wonderful accidents, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and they, you know, when I, in the rehearsal, I just closed my eyes because it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm a musician. These musicians are really, they're really wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. And I was just, you know, grateful. I know that sounds hokey, but it really was. I was really enjoying our rehearsal.
I wouldn't mind acknowledging the personnel of the quartet. That would be Tom Kanifik on bass. Mm-hmm. Was it Keith Hall on drums?
Keith Hall on drums.
Great. Mm-hmm. Was Jeremy Siskind on keyboard for that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Andrew Rathbun on the saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's tonight. This is all culminating tonight mm-hmm. at 7:30 in a concert that features Gold Company.
Features Gold Company, University the Advanced Jazz Ensemble, Orchestra. Jazz Orchestra, and Western Jazz Quartet. All
and
of them
of course,
with
Deborah
Miss
Brown.
Deborah Brown. Yeah.
Lots of variety.
Lots of variety. We'll hear some standards. We'll also hear brand new pieces that haven't been heard before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Written specifically for this wonderful lady here.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I think we're getting close to the top of the hour, and it's been really great to spend time with you, Deborah.
Thank you so much.
I hope we can bring you back again. And thanks. I know that you're actually going to finish up your residency by recording something special at WMUK with Keith Hall. That'll be broadcast later when we have a time to edit and create a one-hour special. So I'm so thrilled you're going to stay and do that. And all the best in tonight's concert.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any last words, Greg?
No, just encouraging everybody who's listening to be there tonight, because it is bound to be one of the most special evenings in Kalamazoo in a while. So,
I have one track here that will exactly work out for the rest of this hour. Take us right to 11 o'clock. It's called Light in Your Eyes.
Light in your eyes on that day. I love you.